video testimonies. You know, maybe you can just sort of be seated. I was just thinking this is going to be a while. You can be seated. I suppose if everyone's seated, you'll be fine. Feel welcome to take pictures if you want. Feel free to move around, take pictures. This is a special time. And we have each person that's being baptized this morning, they spent some time just recording what they were feeling about this day. And so there's going to be a video testimony of each person as they come up. So we'll ask you just to play carols. Carol Emmanuel Resgari.
So next come big on. Chapter in my life, something that God wants me to do. When my mom became a Christian, I started to attend churches and read the Bible. Now, since I'm a Christian, I think I'm a more positive person now. I felt Jesus has always been a part of my life and will always be there for me. So now with this baptism, I take my old life and I start a new life with Jesus.
Carol, you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
He died on the cross for your sins. Now you're going to bury your old life and you're going to rise to live a new life in Him.
Yes.
Carol, upon this confessional faith, in obedience to the Word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Catholic, and I've never felt quite comfortable with the traditions or ways of the church. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I started questioning the Christian faith. And it was through a friend that, who was Christian, told me to go to his church. And when going to his church, I was absolutely terrified to step foot in the church. But I did, and I had 1,000 questions, and I learned that it's not as scary as I thought. In fact, it's more relaxed in the Christian church, and I felt more comfortable being in the Catholic church. And my daughter ended up coming to this particular church through a friend of hers, so I thought I'd join her, and in doing so, I've found that I've really enjoyed Pastor Ken's services. When Pastor Ken speaks, I feel like Jesus is actually a real person. I feel his stories are real. I feel like he's just talking about an old friend. And that makes me feel closer to Jesus and more comfortable in being here. And the idea of being rebaptized Christian makes me happy. It makes me feel like there's something to look forward to. I want to feel cleansed, and I want to feel Jesus with me, and I want to open up my heart to Him and let Him in and let him guide me and for me to trust in Him.
Lisa, you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
He died on the cross for your sins.
Yes.
Now you're going to bury your old life, and you're going to rise to live a new life in the Lord.
Yes.
Lisa, upon this confession of faith and obedience to the Word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I had the fire of the Holy Spirit in my heart years ago, and I let it smolder away. At this point in my life, I want it back, and I think by baptizing myself, I'm going to be on that road again. I was born and raised Catholic and baptized as an infant. I still love the Catholic. I love all churches. I love churches that put Jesus Christ above all things. And above all things, I'm Christian. And I seek the Spirit and God's love.
Roy, you believe that Jesus is God, and that he died on the cross for your sins. Now you're going to bury your old life to rise to live a new life in the Lord. Roy, upon this confession of faith and obedience to the word of God, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Young lady, Hannah Smith, is going to be baptized, but I'm going to let her father baptize her.
I want to be baptized because it is my way to show that I have accepted Jesus into my life. This means that I am identifying with Christ's burial and his resurrection. I love Jesus!
Well, this is a proud moment for me to be able to baptize my daughter and just the blessings of it. And I'd just like to say, Hannah, do you believe Jesus has died for your sins and you've accepted him in your life? I now baptize you in the name of Jesus.
But this brought me back to when I did, and I'm sure it did for you guys. Let us stand. Let us bring all the children down up to grade 7 as we pray for you as you go into your kids' church. All right. If you're comfortable in extending your hands forward, please do so as we pray for these children. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single child that we have here today. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Help us as a church and as a community be able to rise and raise these children to be mighty warriors for you, God. Let them believe in Jesus and live with him and walk with him as they go and grow into their lives. Lord, I pray for their parents, all the people of influence in their life, all the adults. Lord, I just pray that they be good people, sowing good seeds in good soil. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before you're seated, I'll get you to shake a hand, turn around, greet someone. There's lots of new people here today.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Well, as we gather today, this is great, isn't it? I'd like to, so let's prepare for our giving today. And it's great to have everybody here today. Nice to see new faces. There's a giving envelope in front. Just take one, pass it in. Also, there is a communication card. And if you have a prayer request, if you'd like to have a copy of the CD, you can fill this out. Also, you can go online, and all of our messages are online. If you're a new person here today, fill this out. We'd like to connect with you. You can actually take this to the kiosk in the foyer, and we have a lovely gift to give you this morning. And I'd also like to say between services here, there is Cafe Connect, and you're invited to go to that. So as the ushers come forward, we'll pray for the offering this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you, Lord. Take our givings and multiply it, Lord. Use it for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, just take it and help us to further the kingdom of God for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to say we have a few announcements. In your bulletin, take note that next week there is a men's pit stop. And so if you're a man, come on out. We have an evangelist sharing that morning, Brother Bob Bryant. Everybody knows who he is. Also, I'd like to say that all of our programs are starting up, Pioneer Clubs, youth, and things are going well. I'd like to invite those that could come Wednesday night. We're going to do something special this week and next week. If you have a loved one that you'd like to see saved, we want to just go to prayer. And, you know, bring a picture, or we're going to give you a card. You can write their name down. And after our worship, we're just going to pray household salvation upon our loved ones and upon our kids and upon our uncles and our aunts and our friends. So I really encourage you to come out this Wednesday night and be a part of that. We're just going to just spend a night in prayer that God would save our family and our friends. Isn't that what it's all about? It is. At this time, Pastor Ken is going to come, and he's going to share the word. For a minute, I thought the rapture came. He was the only one left, or we were the only ones.
Well, if the rapture happened, and I was the only one that's gone, I wasn't a very good pastor. It's good to be ourselves. It's good to laugh. It's good to enjoy the presence of the Lord. It's nice just to be comfortable in His presence. And the Lord has done tremendous things to make us comfortable in His presence. We're going to talk about these things today. Now, you probably noticed we're all wearing these T-shirts. I have decided on the back it says, "Taking My Next Step." So we have decided, these individuals that were baptized have decided to take their next step. Their next step was a water baptism. But we all have a next step. And I thought it'd be good just to maybe talk about this morning. There is an insert in your bulletin. You can take it out, fill it in, follow along this message as we go today. We are in the middle of a series called The Power of Blessing and Honor. And so we have, in the last 2 weeks, been talking about the power of blessing and the power of speaking a blessing over someone else. And we are going to continue that next week. Larry's going to be sharing a message next week, and then we're moving into Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about blessing God. Next week it'll be being a blessing, not just speaking a blessing, but being a blessing. Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about blessing God, how we turn that back and we actually give Him thanks and prayer and thanksgiving. And then the following 4 weeks, we're going to move into the power of honor. And I just hope you make it a priority to not miss any of these series, because this power of honor will change your life. There is a tremendous power in honor. And we shared last week that really the seeds of blessing that's spoken into your life grow in the soil of honor. And so we're going to talk about how do we honor. God tells us to honor Him, to honor people. And so we're going to share about the power of honor. Today, we're right in the middle of this. We have a water baptism. So we're going to, it all speaks to the same thing, blessing. What a blessing it is to be baptized. What a blessing it is that God has made a way for us. But we're going to just talk a little different today as we pursue this on taking your next step. If you have your sheet out and you want to fill it in, here's the first point. Sin separated man from God, and there's no way back. I don't know whether we fully appreciate what happened when man first sinned. God created man. He was put in a garden. He had fellowship with God. He had responsibilities and duties. I mean, it's listed in just a chapter in the Bible, and it's hard to do justice to what that first creation was like as Adam and Eve was in the garden. But they were tempted. And the temptation was to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of evil, which basically, in symbolic, that he was tempted to run his own life. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong. And so, do your own thing. Run your own life. And so, that's the sin of Adam and Eve. And they decided to ignore God, go their own way. And we call it to this day the fall. We fell from favor with God. We fell from having a relationship with God. And we died spiritually. And our sin separated us, because sin cannot be tolerated in the presence of God. And so we were separated from God. Do we really appreciate that? I think much of the world does not appreciate that, do not know the state that mankind is in compared to where he was created. But man that's born today does not have a natural relationship with God. They're separated from God. They don't know God. They know about him, can hear about him, but they don't know him personally in their own heart, in their life. So we're separated from God. And folks, there's no way back. Man can't be good enough to recover that. We can't get back to God on our own. There's no way back to God. There's some verses that I put on your sheet. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. There's not one person in the world that hasn't sinned. And there's not one person in the world that sin hasn't separated them from God. And there's no person in the world that can get past that sin and overcome it, because we've all sinned. We've all come short. As it says in the next verse, there is none righteous, no, not one. God's standard is perfection. So it doesn't matter how good you are. When I was talking to the baptismal candidates, I said to them, take the best person that's ever lived in the world, the best person. I mean, sort out through the 5 and so many billion people and find the best person. They can't find their way back to God because they have sinned. God's standard is perfection. There's no way back. Now, that's the bad news of our sin. But here's our next point. Well, let me just add this verse, because to me it just spoke. In the garden, after Adam and Eve sinned, it says in Genesis 3:24 that man was driven out, and cherubim was placed with a flaming sword which turned everywhere to guard the way to the tree of life. Again, the tree of life is symbolic of our relationship with God and having spiritual life. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was cherubim set, in a sense, guarding the way. You can't come back to life. There's no way. God's holiness keeps us from coming back to him. We can't get back to him on our own. But here's the next point. Jesus made a way. Jesus made a way where there was no way. Now, as soon as I make that statement, I can hear Christ Choir in Nashville singing a song. Jesus made a way where there was no way. Jesus made a way where there was no way. And 150 people just swaying, just singing that. And that's the truth. Jesus made a way where there was no way. He made a way back to God. Here's how he did it. John 14:6, this is what Jesus said of himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way back to God. People say Jesus was a good man. He did great teachings. But he also said, there's no way to come to God but through me. Because that is the truth. There's no other way. You know, religions, different religions will tell us to try to be better, do better, don't kill, don't steal. You know, and all those are good things. The problem is we can't do it. We can't keep the law. As soon as we put a law, a standards up, we fall short. In fact, the Bible even says the laws were given just to show us that we'd fall short. It was to teach us that we can't do it in ourselves. And so there's no way that we can get back. But Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The way was a person. The way was what that person did and the provision he made for us to come back to God. Jesus made a way where there was no way. It's explained a little further in Romans 3, 21 to 24, and I just took pieces of this so we wouldn't get lost in all of the scripture of it. But it says this, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Now that's amazing. How could you be righteous and not keep the law? That's how it's always been. Keep the law, be good, and then you'll be righteous. That's how we judge righteousness. If you keep the law and you don't steal and you don't kill, well, that person's more righteous than this person. But this scripture tells us that the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. God has made another way. There was no way to come to God through the law and being good enough. There was just no way there. But Jesus made a way where there was no way, and now righteousness is not determined by whether you've kept the law or not. And it goes on to say, even the righteousness of God, now here's the key, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. He says, now there's a righteousness that's going to come through a faith, a trust in Jesus Christ, and those that believe in Jesus Christ is going to find a new way to come to God apart from the righteousness of keeping the law. I want you to know right now, if you don't know it, that's good news. That's the best news we could ever hear. It's bad, bad news when you got to be good enough to go to heaven. Because you've tried it, I've tried it, and I can't do it. But he made a new way through faith in Jesus. And then it goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have been redeemed, bought back from this judgment, and it's free by grace. You didn't merit it. You couldn't be good enough. It's given to us. And that redemption is in Jesus Christ. Romans 6:10 just summarizes it as best, as about as good as you can put it. Romans 6:10 says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives to God. So this is telling us there was a judgment over us, death, eternal separation from God. That was the penalty of our sin. Could not get back to God. But he took that penalty. When Jesus died on the cross, he died once for everybody. He took everybody's sin. He took the penalty of everyone's sin upon himself. He paid the debt. From God's perspective, it satisfied the righteous requirement of the law. The cross shows that sin was judged. Jesus took our sin. But it also shows his love because he died for us and now gives us his life. That is the way that he made. God came in flesh and took the very penalty that was upon us. And he died once for everyone, once for all. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other provision. Search all the religions of the world. There's no provision for sin in any religion other than say, try to do better. And yet everyone knows they can't do it good. So the only provision is to come to God in a way that does not require us to be good enough. That's good news. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Jesus making another way for us to come to him. When we see it and when you understand it, you will rejoice in your salvation because it's so full and it's so free. So, would we just say then, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world? I'm part of the world. Therefore, I'm saved. His grace is sufficient. I just keep on sinning because God took the sins of the whole world. Well, we know that that's not true. What does the Bible say? Well, let me give you the statement first, then we'll give you the verses. We need to, here's your next fill-in, we need to walk in the way to come back to God. You have to walk in that way, that pathway, to come back to God. You see, a road can be made between here and wherever you want to go. Some work crews came. They put down pavement. There's asphalt. I got thinking about this the other day, and it's just amazing. You could leave here. Well, I left my house, and I came here, and I never touched the ground. I was on asphalt all the way. Many of you this have been to Florida. You get in your car, you drive continuously from here all the way to Florida, and you never touch the ground. You went on asphalt the whole way. Can you imagine the network of asphalt all over the world? A way has been made for us to go basically anywhere. But have you been everywhere? You got to walk in that way. You got to traverse the way. Just because a provision is made doesn't mean that you have got received the benefit of it. You only receive the benefit when you walk in that way. Here's how John 1:12 says it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The provision is made for everyone. But it's now left for us to humble ourselves. There's a key word. Humble yourself. Repent of your sin. That sin that Adam and Eve that wanted to run their own life, do their own thing. Repent of that. Turn back to God. Say, God, you're God. I'm not God. You have the right to tell me and to rule and reign and over my heart. I want to do what you want me to do. I don't trust my judgment. I'm yielding my life to you. Here, you come sit on the throne of my life. That's repentance. Turning your heart back to God, acknowledging God is God, humbling yourself and saying, I can't be good enough. I need someone to save me. I need a new way to come to God. I want to come to God. That's the start of it. And as many as received him, he's given them the power to become sons of God. The provision is made. But you have to walk it out step by step. Step by step. When was the first time that you ever heard about God, heard about Jesus? Maybe it was in a Sunday school class. Some of you never was raised in a Christian atmosphere and you never were to Sunday school. But someone told you. Someone, you saw it in someone's life. You saw what they were living out and how they were. And so it moved you. And see, that was the Spirit drawing you. And you had to take a step. You either had to take a step to ask a new question, a step to open your heart and to consider it and not harden yourself and just go, I don't need that. There's so many people have missed their first step by a pride. Ignore it. It's sad. They've missed a journey that they could go on, a journey back to God, a journey into His love, a journey into His will and His purposes and all that He has for us, a journey into the full potential that God made you for, where you be the happiest, where you be the most excited. That awaits every person. The door is open. In fact, God even comes to us and stands at the door and knocks. When He's actually drawing us. He just wants you to open the door. That's your first step, rising up and opening the door of your heart to say, I will consider some things. I'm opening myself up. I'm going to learn more about this. Maybe the next step was a prayer. Maybe a next step was going to church. Maybe the next step was to pray a prayer of commitment to God. Or in some way indicate that you are opening yourself to His presence. In the Bible, once people believe, they were to be baptized. That's their next step with the people today. Water baptism, the next step for them. But you know what? It doesn't finish at water baptism. There's an ongoing journey with the Lord. And here's your last fill-in. Our ongoing relationship with God is called walking in the Spirit. Our ongoing relationship with God is called walking in the Spirit. Because once you receive Christ, He promises to forgive us of our sin, but then He promises something else. He will put His Holy Spirit within us. A life force, His very presence, His Spirit comes in. His Spirit joins with our spirit that's been dead and dormant. And our spirit comes alive. That's what Jesus said is the born-again experience, your spirit coming alive. So your spirit comes alive, and now you sense His presence, and He leads you, and He guides you, and He directs you. You feel His promptings. He begins to produce a fruit in you, the fruit, the product of the Holy Spirit. You become more loving, more kind, more peaceful, more long-suffering. You're more gentle. You have more self-control. Because of your efforts? No, because the Holy Spirit is in you and prompting you and guiding you. And it's something that happens from the inside out. The way it was put in the early church when they said, what is this? What do we do to be saved? He said, you need to repent. Turn back to God. You need to be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The power dynamic of a Christian is being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Over and over, the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Over and over, it tells us, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. In other words, step by step, moment by moment, you're conscious of God's presence in you. You have an open ear to hear. You're longing for it. You're cultivating that. And now, suddenly, God becomes more real to you. I was talking to, if you don't mind me sharing, Lisa, she was telling me, before, I used to just pray at nighttime before I went to bed. She says, now I find all day long I'm talking to God. Wherever I am, I'm talking. See, that's the cultivation of God's Spirit. You're conscious. He's with you. So every big decision, small decision, you're making that decision in the light of God's Spirit being in you. And you're walking in the Spirit. All of us need to take our next step. Not just a step for water baptism. What's your next step spiritually? You know what? Following God isn't always just smooth and easy. There are some turns in the road following Jesus that you never expected. But He says, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. You don't understand why this turn has taken you into this valley. And why you feel the darkness and the gloom of this, and you feel like, I don't know why I'm here, but you said I was walking with the Lord. I was doing my best. And He's led you into that valley. But He promises us that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He promises us, I'm taking you to your destination. And how many times I've seen in my life go through something I didn't know why it happened, and then later I find out, oh, I see. Now I understand why I had to go through that, because it produced this in me, or it brought this circumstance about. And we realize He works all things together for good to them that love God called according to his purpose. And when can I add, if you're called according to his purpose, you're walking out his purpose in your life step by step. And so your trust is in God. You're just following him step by step. And amazing, amazing things happen. It says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If he's given us life, if he's given us eternal life, and we have it because of his Spirit, then let's on earth walk it out step by step. Be committed to taking your next step. I wonder if you'd stand with me this morning. We're all on a spiritual journey. God is taking us to our full destiny. Don't get stuck in the mud. Don't sit down. Walk in the Spirit, step by step. And let me ask you this simple question as we close this time right here. What's your next step? Have you been balking at a step? You're uncertain, a little fearful, wonder what other people will say. We need to decide. I have decided to take my next step. Walking with God is a series of decisions that you'll follow his leading and his promptings wherever it takes us, whatever the path, trusting him. It says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Trusting the Lord, following the inward leading, even when my mind can't figure it all out, I take my next step and my next step. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's prepared a table before us. He's taken us to a royal feast. He's prepared a table before us. And that's what he has for each and one of us. I don't know what your journey is. Your journey's different than mine. But take your next step. Walk it out. Let God fulfill his purpose in your life. I wonder if I could pray for you before we have the others come forward. If you in your heart say, you know what? I want to take my next step. I want to take my next step. Would you just lift your hand? Just keep it up. You might say, I don't even know what it is, but I want to take it. I want to take my next step with the Lord. And let me pray for us. Father, we lift our hands saying, we are yours. We're not going to run our own life, do our own thing, go by our own opinions. We're going to follow you. And Lord, we trust you. We believe you have saved us. You've brought us back to God. You're working in our lives. Now, Lord, we want to walk it out step by step into the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, everyone, you see everyone's hand. Lord, now, would you just direct them, guide them, empower them. Lord, bring circumstances to bear in their life. Give them freshness. Give them anointing, a new anointing, a power, Lord, that they never had before. Work in us. Pour out your Spirit upon us this morning. Do something in our lives that we can't do ourselves. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let it be. Let it be. Why don't we thank the Lord for what he's done? Okay, what we're going to do now, in the Bible, when people were baptized, the leaders of the church laid hands on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that it's just happening right in this moment or there's anything special with our hands, but it's a point of focus, a point of saying, Lord, I want to receive your Holy Spirit. And this is what every person that's confessed the Lord and they've been baptized, we're going to lay our hands on these four individuals this morning. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will empower them. And I've told them, you know, just believe in your heart. focus your faith at that moment when we lay our hands on you, that you be filled with the Spirit, refilled with the Spirit, a renewal in your life. And I just know what's going to happen. And so I'm going to ask Larry and the elders that are here, you come join me at the front. I'm going to come down. I'll ask those that have been water baptized, if you'll just come and stand along this line here, just facing me. And, okay, why don't we just all move down so we're centered here. Okay. Is there any other? Okay, the elders are here. Good. All right. We're in turn going to pray. And they're just going to play some music. Would you just, in your heart, pray a prayer for each one of these individuals and ask God just to give them everything that they need for their journey. So we're going to start with Lisa, and we're just going to move down and pray here. So, gentlemen, let me come. Lord, I lay my hands upon Lisa in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, that all that you have for her will be imparted in this moment. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, fill her afresh and anew. I ask, O Lord, you come into the very center of her being. Change her, O Lord, from the inside out. May there be a new power of life that enters her. New energy, new drive, new determination, new excitement. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And I just ask that you would continue to work. Fill her with your Spirit. May the fruit of the Spirit be produced in her life. May the gifts of the Spirit that you have for her be imparted in this simple moment as we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Roger, would you also just pray for Lisa this morning? Lisa, as I was praying, I just had this picture of your heart and this rush and flow of sort of a liquid, whether it's a liquid love or the presence of the water of the Spirit, I don't know, but I feel, just saw it filling your heart, and I saw it just flushing out things. Things that you had tried to get out of your life for a long time, and now I just see it just being washed and flushed out. Things are just being removed from your life, and it's just making you all brand new inside. Filled with the Holy Spirit. There's great things in your future, Lisa. So just continue to drink in that Holy Spirit as we continue to pray now for others. Amen. Let's lay our hands on Hannah and pray for this young girl who loves Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord, we lay our hands upon Hannah in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the life that we sense of you already in her. And now, Lord, would you fill her completely and totally as she's taken this step of complete submission to you. Lord, would you just fill her with your Holy Spirit, guide her, energize every one of her natural abilities, her personality, her talents, her skills. Energize them by the Holy Spirit, Lord. May she be filled. May she be a lady of grace. And may she be a lady of your presence and your power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Dad, why don't you pray for your daughter? Amen. This, but I see you as a powerhouse. I see you as having a great great presence. I see, it's almost like as you're walking, I see an entourage around you. I see as you walk that there's an influence of your presence. And many people are being drawn to the Lord. Many people are being attracted to the Lord because they're seeing him in you. And when you walk into a room, you're going to bring a presence. You're going to be known as a great lady of God. You're going to do mighty exploits for the Lord. Keep yourself humble before him. Keep walking with him just carefully. And he's setting you to be an example and a great influence in the kingdom of God. Lord, establish it, make it so in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And Roy, let's lay our hands upon Roy. Amen. Louis, would you start us off, and let's just pray for Roy in the name of Jesus. Yes. I too just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow into Roy right now, that you would be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, prompting him to have all the gifts and all the fruit that you want him to produce. Lord, may he be great for you in the kingdom of God. We commit him to you. We pray, O Lord, in this moment, through the laying on of hands, the impartation of every good gift from above into his life, in Jesus' name. Now, as I'm praying for you, Roy, what I'm sensing is that the Lord's going to really be a different maker for you. I mean, he always is, but especially in your case. And this is why I'm sensing. Your heart has always been soft towards God. Your heart has always wanted to do what's right. But you haven't had the power or the sense of confidence to do it. And God says, I'm going to be a difference maker. All those things that's in your heart and the desires that you have, he's going to give you a power to do it. Where you felt inadequate in the past, he's going to give you a confidence that it's going to be overwhelming to you. And you're going to move into areas where before you'd say, I would never move into that area. But the Lord's going to allow you to move into that, but you're going to go with his power. The Lord is the difference. Just hold on. He's the difference maker. Your heart's been formed, but now he's given you a power to do it. And so, Lord, we establish it in the name of Jesus for your honor and glory. Amen. 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 And Carol, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come into your life. So just lift your hands. Just open your heart. Just be an open vessel. And just allow him to flow into your being. Amen. Amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we lay our hands upon Carol. And I ask, O Lord, that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit. Flow into his being. Lord, do good things in his heart and his life. Lord, his future is before you. We ask, Lord, that he would be empowered by your Spirit from this moment on, that he would realize you'll never leave him, you'll never forsake him. I again ask, Lord, that all the fruit of the Spirit would begin to be produced in his life. The gifts of the Spirit that you want him to have, Lord, we impart them now through the laying on of hands into this man's life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glenn, would you just pray and commit Carol? Manny, would you also just pray a blessing on Carol? Amen, Lord. Amen. as I'm praying for you, Carol, I have this sense that there is a wisdom within you and a depth in you that many people have not seen. And the Lord's going to bring that out. He's going to bring your strengths out. You're going to be able to, I have the sense of project, and I don't know exactly what that means, but I see you projecting the presence of the Lord, where you have a quiet spirit, you have a sense of shyness, but the Lord is going to use that, and you'll still be who you are, but your influence and your wisdom is going to come out, and you're going to be able to speak into people's lives with a wisdom that will help them mightily. I also have the sense that you've seen a lot of hurt and you've seen pain, but God has been with you through that time, even at a young age. And the Lord's going to allow all your experiences to culminate in having a wisdom and an understanding and a sympathy for people. And you're going to be an influence for good in people's lives. And so, Lord, I just pray that all that you have for Carol as he moves forward and his future, Lord, may every step be guided, and may he walk day by day, step by step, into all that you have for him. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, I'm going to have you guys take one giant step forward. You didn't say may I, but anyway, turn around. Now, we're going to close this service, and there we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you, that those that would like to come up from my right-hand side and come across and just shake their hands, congratulate them, and then when you're finished, you can move out, you go down, and then you go right downstairs, because they have prepared coffee and some refreshments, and you can chat and talk, and these folks will move down there after everyone has come by. Welcome these folks. Bless them as we go today.